Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Community and Wellbeing Committee. And a special welcome to Kelly, our mum, I'm supposed to say, is it? A special welcome to you, Kelly. Thank you very much for giving your time and coming along. So, thank you. Right. Can you all make sure your phones are switched off, please, or on silent? Thank you very much. Right. We'll start with the agenda item one, the minutes of the meeting on the 4th of December. Does everybody in agreement with them? Anybody got any queries? No? I'm quite happy for me to sign them. Thank you very much. Is there any paper? It's true. Right. Apologies, please.
Councillor Thorley substituted by Councillor Reid and County Councillor Orlandi Fantini.
Yeah, thank you very much. Public question time is nil, yeah? Agenda item four, Councillor Sessions, nil. Yeah. Right, we're on to members' items. The Health and Care Overview Scrutiny Committee. I think you're all aware that Councillor Orlando Fattorini will not be attending the meeting. I did have a conversation with her actually, was it only last week, and she said she would be coming to the meeting. Then I got an email from her to say that she wouldn't be attending any meetings, and she won't be attending the meetings, full stop. And if you've got the minutes and that in front of you. If you look, if you want to get onto the Staffordshire Maud Goodwin Committee Health Scrutiny and see if there's anything, read it and see if there's anything that you want to raise, then we'll bring it back to this committee and see what can be done. So I'm not going to apologise for her because I don't know the reasons why. She said thank you for your understanding. You asked me to write to her, which I did. Did you get a copy of the answer? No. Anybody else? No. Nobody's seen the reply.
Not the response.
Right. I mean, you did tell me about it.
Pardon?
You did explain it to her.
Yeah. I thought she sent it to everybody. Actually, Jackie, can you follow that through for us and so people can understand, the committee can understand. And I will forward. Did you get a copy of that one I had the other day? No. I'll send that to you and then you can send that to the committee. So as I say, if you go onto the website and have a look at the health scrutiny from the county and that, and if you've got any queries, then we'll pick it up at the next meeting and see how we move forward with it. Yeah. I'm a bit disappointed actually, because having a conversation with her, she did say she would be here. And then only yesterday, I got this anyway. I don't know the reason why, so yeah. Okay.
We're doing that item first so that the officer can go.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we will. Yes. Okay. Right, we're going to do item 7A first, and we can invite. Kelly to the table if you'd like to come along, please. Thank you. You want to give your presentation? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you.
Is there anything there, Kelly, first of all, the inspector here at Stafford? Excellent. So we'll be doing a joint presentation this evening. I will start off and I'm going to race through the slides because you probably are familiar with a lot of content, but we'll really focus on what we've been doing over the last year.
Thank you.
Okay, so Community Wellbeing Partnership. So this presentation sets out the work of the Community Wellbeing Partnership over the last year. Just a reminder, partnership is a combination of the statutory Community Safety Partnership and also what was the Stafford & Stroud's Health and Wellbeing Board. So it brings together the community safety and the health aspects. The responsible authorities that make up Community Partnership are Police, Fire and Rescue. I don't need to read them there. There's a number of statutory partners that are there. And we also have some local partners as well, the City and Board. This includes Homes Plus, obviously representing housing, public health at the county, the voluntary sector, and we have representatives from the primary care network as well. So as you can see from the slide here, we recognise that no one agency can tackle all the issues, so working in a partnership would end up with much better outcomes. That is the case for both community safety and for health as well. Now, I have lately copied this slide and the next one from another presentation I'd seen. If you look at the root causes of crime, this is the reason we brought these two elements together. There's both personal issues, family issues, and also society issues that are the underlying issues that cause crime. Mm. And then if you look at what keeps us healthy, they're exactly the same elements, so good work, the food we eat, security around money, housing, education, and also that wider family, friend and community network. So when we're looking at early intervention, prevention, a lot of the projects that we do actually have positive positive outputs for both health and for community safety as well, which makes sense bringing all those parts together to look at everything in the round. So, Community Wellbeing Partnership, what does it actually do? We set evidence-based priorities as a partnership, and we have a plan every year of how we're going to deliver against those priorities. We have a strategic assessment for community safety every 3 years with an annual refresh, which sets out the data of really what we should be tackling. And the same as well for health. We've got a really rich source of data around national indicators, but also the County Council's joint needs assessment for health, and also the children's data that you'll be aware of as well, that set out what those priorities really need to be that we as a district should be addressing. We work together as a partnership to set our priorities, and then we deliver programmes and interventions. Now, I'm going to bring Kelly in at this stage to talk about some of the local data that we're using to, you know, set our priorities and move things forward as well.
It's a bit too smooth. That's fine, thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'm Kelly Waring. I am the Deputy Commander at Stafford and Stone, the local policing team. I know you normally have Chief Inspector Parsons here with you. He has been temporarily promoted to superintendent in the city, and then he's probably retiring. I'm from Stafford. I live in Lowestoft, so vast interest in this partnership, making it work, and I've got no intentions of moving on anywhere. Been with the policing team now for a couple of years, so I'm starting to understand what we need to be doing and how we can work together with such great partners. So I'll talk you through the slides. No need to make notes, we can send it out to you if you need to see it afterwards. We'll start with Stafford Town Centre for Crime. We did down, it's really positive, so we're down just 1%, but that's really good considering everything that's been going on, the changes with management, with policing chiefs nationally, and the focus for neighbour policing. So violence against people, that's probably gone up the most, you can see there, and it tends to be around the times you'd expect, Saturdays and Sundays, and again, evening, nighttime economy. So there's a lot of work which we'll touch on as we go through the presentation on how we're policing the town, how we're working with the partners to try and reduce violence within the town centres, and what we'll be kind of encouraging you guys to help us with. There are some areas that haven't gone up too much, but again, I can send this out to you afterwards. The bit on the right is the breakdown of where the different crimes have happened, but we are focusing on the town centre, and these statistics are just for Stafford Town Centre. Move on to ASB, for Stafford Town, that's also down. ASB has gone up across the force, lots of different reasons for that. We did see a spike over the summer, which again you would expect, but we've been doing a lot of work on the town centre, concentrating on ASB, because it's a priority for us locally and for the force. And again, we've had some great initiatives, which I'll go into in a bit more detail once we move past the data. The coloured grid in the middle, the red areas are where we see the biggest hotspots for crime, so for ASB. Again, weekends, you can see it's moved from green to red, and sort of school kick-out time, which would align with the young people that are quite high up there on causing ASB for us in the town centres. Then move on to Stone. Similar picture for Stone. We're down crime by 11%. But similar areas really, they're just lower numbers. So violence against the times for the crime in Stone, the nighttime economy is very similar to Stafford. We do police it with what we call safer nights, so our sergeants and the late shift that go out onto the town centres, both in Stafford and Stone for the weekend. And then we've got dedicated ASB officers during the days and late shifts, which again I'll talk about in a bit more detail later on. The dots are a bit more spread out, but that's just because there's areas within the town centre that are captured within the data, so there are other sort of housing estates feature how the mapping system works basically. Okay. And then ASB, it's down 29%. You see some spikes towards sort of Christmas, January time. That's seasonal across the course, tends to link in with the Christmas parties and end of school, that kind of thing. We did have a big spike in the summer around Westbridge Park, some issues with children, which you're probably already aware of, but we've put a lot of resources into that, both locally and other departments across Staffordshire Police. Got the County Rural and Proactive Team, which are an extension of our neighbourhood teams, which I'm not sure whether we spoke about it last time, but basically an extra sergeant and 6 to 8 staff on a rotational basis that are based at Stafford and will support issues that are causing us the most problems. And at the time there were quite some issues in Stone. They've targeted that area, they've done some really good proactive work, and that's why it's this such big spike. Back to you, Anna.
This slide sets out what community safety park priorities have been over the last year, and they're very much in line with what Kelly's just been talking about. So violence against the person, ASB, violence with injury and without injury, stalking, harassment and also theft offences. And on the health side of things, we've done a lot of work recently on health, and I think the number of priorities that we've identified in Stafford are hospital admission for falls for the elderly, so 80 plus, infant mortality, alcohol-related admissions to hospital is a significant one for Stafford, deprivation and poor mental health has peaked here as well, and also respiratory disease. Then looking through the priorities identified by the stakeholders from what they're seeing as well, we've got a few more there as well that we've pulled into the mix to actually understand as a partnership what we can help to address. So we're looking at business crime, shoplifting, support for people with vulnerabilities. There's a focus on knife crime, drugs and domestic abuse as well. So I'll hand back to Kelly about the approach we've been taking.
Yeah, so big on this there of different initiatives that we've been using, focusing on youth workers, training standards for example. We get intelligence from all over the place really, from various different sources. There's been a huge increase in children smoking vapes and getting hold of laced vapes. So that was obviously quite real, so rather than trying to tackle that on our own, we've been out with youth workers, training standards, trying to target the shops that are selling them and educating young people as to the serious health effects that could cause them. CCTV is a big one. They do an absolutely fantastic job for us in Stafford and Stone, monitoring everything that's going on. We're linked up to StoreNet, both police and various businesses in Stafford and Stone, and I think that is really vital to some of the success stories we've had. There's not much that they miss on those cameras, and they're watching it live time during the day and then through the evening at the weekends. They're confident to shout up with things that they've seen, and then our staff or council will go out and try and deal with that as and when it's happening. But also they're brilliant at going back retrospectively, burning off evidence so that we can use it for our case files and building into a crime prosecution service to get some convictions home. Multi-agency vulnerability hub, tax marshals, again, they're great. I think Anna's going to talk about them a little bit as we move on, and how vital they've been on the town centres, trying to encourage people to go home after they finish the night out rather than scrap and fight and cause further issues. So, yeah, really grateful for the work that tax marshals do. Increased patrols that I mentioned, the hotspot policing, this is some funding that's been given to us by the Home Office, and it's really specific in what we can use it for, which is great, so they don't get diverted anywhere else. They're out on foot on the town every day shifts, late shifts, two in Stafford, two in Stone. Unfortunately that will run out at the end of March, but have put a bid in to try and get some more, and that's been ongoing for the last 12 months. They are in addition to our local neighbourhood offices for the town centres, but sometimes they will get diverted to other areas, which is why we've been really grateful for the hotspot policing. They've concentrated on things like breaching the PSPOs in the town. We've had numerous complaints of bicycles, e-scooters, electric bikes zooming through the town, having no regard for normal, nice, everyday people that are going about the day. So we've been using the hotspot police to try and combat some of those issues. If you asked us 6 months ago how many we'd issued, then we'd be a bit embarrassed to probably give you the numbers, but what one now, 29
for this month?
Yeah. Literally, they're not allowed to come back in until they've done at least 5 or 10 a day. So that's the volume that we're kind of going through now, and it feels like having a really positive impact. It's getting the balance right with those that don't know about it, but again, we're doing different media campaigns and things to try and advertise that, and the signs are up. Crime prevention visits, we've got specialists at headquarters and other partners that are really good at providing crime prevention if you or business or an area need some support to try and prevent crime happening in that area. Found it's worked really well in more rural areas, but again, the problems we've been having in the town with kids getting roofs and things, it's that sort of thing that is educating the businesses to perhaps move their bins out of the way or keep them locked up so they can't use the bins to get on the roof, that kind of stuff. Signage, we're always improving signs, trying to keep it clean. If anything's got graffiti on it, we're trying to get it cleaned up as soon as we can. I think that's really important, sets the tone of the town and just looks good, and sends out a really positive message. So yeah, there's lots going on, police operations and things, but I don't think we'll come to that.
Okay, thank you. So we've had some funding, obviously, for carrying out some of this work. So the Police and Crime Commissioner has given us funding for this financial year. And what we spent it on was very much addressing some of those issues that we've talked about. So we fund the Right Stuff Boxing, so diversionary activities for young people in boxing, which improves behaviour outcomes and also school attendance. Resolve, looking at issues of substance misuse. YouthNet.
Sorry.
Which is about knowing the young people in the town, providing diversionary activities there, and taxi marshals that we've already mentioned. You also saw the peaks of antisocial behaviour at the end of pub closing time and nightclub closing. Those taxi marshals are absolutely critical in helping people get home safely, resolving any antisocial behaviour, and working really closely with the police and street pastors as well. We've also, as a local authority, put in funding, so we've also contributed towards those taxi
But thinking about the wider priorities as well, we applied funding for sanctuary schemes, which is for those people who are suffering domestic abuse, to keep them safe in their properties so that they can stay where they're currently living. We provide some funding for the street pastors, who obviously do an amazing job in the evenings in the town centre. Things like smart doorbells. We fund domestic homicide reviews, which I'll come on to in a minute as well. We've also looked at upgrading the CCTV. We've got a case study in a minute about some of the great work the CCTV have done. We do case management, the partnership work we do. Homelessness funding as well really helps with that, roughly the outreach and finding provision for those who would otherwise be on the streets. And also safety items for violence against women and girls there. Okay.
So these are just a few of the achievements that as a partnership we've proud to tell you about tonight. So I've touched on the ASB and cycling. They were big issues that if you stopped and spoke to somebody in the town, that would be one of the things that they would raise as an issue for them. So as you can see, there's 27 fixed penalty notices that have been issued this month for people cycling through the town centre. Drugs and exploitation, again, I'd be naive to think that it doesn't go on in our town centres. It does, unfortunately. So we've had various targeted operations, and some of the slides will show an increase in possession of drugs offences, but that's because we've been proactively looking for it and targeting those people. There was a County Lines intensification week at the beginning of this month. We focused on having plainclothes officers and uniform officers in the town centre and at the train station. And we've done that in partnership with the exploitation team to target those that are sending the drugs up and down the train line, but also focusing on the children that are being exploited to do that and safeguarding them properly rather than trying to treat them all as offenders. Seizing phones, seizing the drugs, and then got different operations going on in the background. That worked really well. There was 18 stop searches in the one day at the train station. We worked with British Transport Police and their dogs. So these kind of things, that they're going on all the time, and it gives the staff something different to focus on. Homelessness and turning point, that's been really positive. It's taken a lot of our homeless people off the town centres and into there. We've got a great relationship with the staff. They will report any issues before they get too bad, and then we can hopefully step in and help support the tenants and the staff. They have got quite a high tolerance level, but at the same time they understand that some of them have got some complex needs, and I think I'm quite joined up with all the right partners and support agencies that they need to be. Retail crime, we've seen bits of that in the town, and also at Queen's Retail, again CCTV supports us really well with that. There's been quite a few occasions where CCTV have helped us to identify illegal shoplifters that are coming into the town specifically to steal, and that's how they make their money day in, day out. Really big business, selling it online. It does hit us hard. We're not the only place, but criminals will keep travelling, and they're not generally from Stafford or Stone. Nighttime economy, I feel like we've got a really good relationship with most of the pubs now. Most of them signed up to the pub watch scheme. They will meet once a week or every 2 weeks. It alternates between Stafford and Stone anyway. Somebody from the police and the different partners will go, and they talk about any issues on the town. They'll talk about people that have been barred for whatever reasons, and we find that works really well by sharing information and intelligence. Touch wood, it's going quite well on time. Graffiti, we had a bit of spike graffiti a few months ago. Certain groups of individuals were leaving their tags on around the town. Again, a combination of partnership work and CCTV has identified people that have been responsible for that, and they've been dealt with. Problem solving, this is quite a
And although we've been problem solving for years in the police, it's never had such focus as it has now. We have had 29 issues that we've identified as a problem, and that's, we haven't got them running all the time, but since it started, it's basically when we get so many calls about the same place or person or area that we decide to focus on it, create a special file, if you like. It's given to an individual officer, and they're expected to update that problem every week. The sergeant has to put an input on there, we have to put an investigation plan, how we're going to solve that. So there's one on for the town centres, both in Stafford Stone, and then you might have an area, Lister Road, for example, is having issues with drugs because all of your community is saying that that's an issue for you. So that will get focused then, and you will get support from different areas within the police. There's quite a lot of positive outcomes from that because they are being really scrutinised on a weekly basis, each area for Stafford. So, for example, one sergeant will come on Thursday, they will give you updates on their problems, the following week it will be a different area. So every 3 weeks you will talk about Stafford in the town centre, if that makes sense. So it's quite a new thing, it's got dedicated extra patrols, it's part of the National Policing Guarantee that we are tackling problems properly rather than just trying to pop plaster on it and move on. We're recognising that some areas of issues people need a bit more time and commitment to solve them. And then the last one is Monkey Dust, which, it's a huge problem. It's come down from Stoke. It has, I'm sure all of you have got examples of people in the community that are causing issues with Monkey Dust, but again, we're tackling it head on. We've got a dedicated team that are out every day looking for the high-end dealers, starting with the street and taking them out and then building the intelligence and the investigations from there. We had a chap, without mentioning any names, one of our organised criminals in Louise's area that was causing huge issues with the dealing. The county proactive team I spoke about earlier focused on him, had four or five different arrests over different weeks, charged, bailed from courts, out again. Very long story short, he's eventually been remanded to custody and will be sentenced next week, I think, actually. So although it might seem a long-winded process, we are keep chipping away at them and we are getting results through. So this is a case study made very simple, just to kind of show how positive the CCTV has been. We had a suspicious incident raised from Sports Direct with a lady in a pushchair. So the CCTV have contacted us, arrested two females that were pushing a pushchair full of stolen items. So they've reviewed the CCTV and they've seen the car that she's come over in. We've searched the car and found so much stuff, over £5,000 worth of stolen items. So she does this on a daily basis. Takes the baby in, looks very sweet and innocent, but is using the pram to hoard whatever she fancies for the day, and then goes back to the car, loads it in the car, and then the pram was also hit quite heavily by her. So again, not from Staffordshire, it comes from home address, along the motorway. We've done some work with the NPR, so the number plate recognition, and that shows other vehicles being in convoy with her, coming across from the West Midlands and Shropshire. So it's a full-time job. They get caught somewhere, they get bailed out of that area, which comes to our Stafford. But luckily, these guys in the CCTV were fully switched on. We managed to get her arrested and bailed, so she can't come back into Staffordshire, can't come into our town or go into any of our shops. That investigation is still ongoing, but we should hopefully get a conspiracy charge rather than a straightforward shoplifting, which should give a much higher sentence.
Okay. I think earlier I mentioned that reviewing domestic abuse related deaths was a
statutory duty of the partnership. So this is to identify lessons that have been learned from those incidents, improve partnership working between the agencies if there have been issues with them, and to prevent future deaths as well. So as you can see from the slide here, we're working on four at the moment, but hopefully the learning from these and from other reviews will all help try and prevent future incidents. Now, we focus very much on the policing side of things. What we've been doing this year as well is working really closely with the ICP to look at how to reduce health inequalities. We've been through a long process with them looking at all the data, and some of the key findings I've brought out earlier around some of the issues that are really impacting on Stafford. We had an opportunity to bid for some funding to put a 3-year project into place. So what we're looking at the moment is a woman-focused programme aimed at reducing hazardous drinking based around the Stafford town. So there's hotspot areas around Stafford town where we have incidents where there's higher than expected alcohol admissions to hospital. And really focusing on women as well, both middle-aged and older women. What the data has shown us as well is that nearly 80% of people living with alcohol dependency don't receive treatment. So this project's very much designed to try and get people, before they become hugely problematic drinkers, really acute issues, and trying to do as much as work possible upstream to try and prevent that deterioration. So what the project's looking to do is grant funds to some voluntary sector organisations across Stafford Town to deliver some diversionary activities, to educate people around healthy drinking, and also to run a 12-week woman-only programme that Chase Recovery are going to be looking at to try and try and change habits, improve mental well-being, resilience, and also to focus on those hotspot areas where there are particular issues. It's going to be targeting females aged between 14 and 65 in those areas, working very closely with GP practices as well to identify those that they think would be suitable for the programme. It's for those who generally use alcohol as a coping mechanism, who have high stress levels, low self-esteem. So it's working with the person as a whole as well and impacting hopefully on that alcohol intake. What the ICP are looking to get at the end of it are obviously short-term reduced risky drinking behaviours, things like that, reducing people's attendance at GPs for problem drinking, things like that. If we can start to prevent some of these issues upstream, that will have an impact there, but ultimately it is to reduce that alcohol-related admissions to hospital as well. So I think we're just going through the final rounds of getting the project confirmed. It should be starting early in the next financial year, and it is a 3-year project as well, working with both the partnership itself, voluntary sector organisations, the PCN and the County Council, and obviously drug and alcohol providers as well. Okay, so just finally looking forward, we've got refreshed data again to confirm the priorities for next year. It's unlikely they'll change significantly, but we obviously do have to keep looking and making sure that we are responding to what the issues are. We're developing a new partnership strategy for the partnership, so that will be moving forwards. Obviously, we're going to continue our delivery in Stafford and Stone Town centres. They're always the ones where the concentration of issues are, so we'll be creating a lot too. We're going to start delivery on this project I was talking about it, locality improvement framework, they call it. We also have new legislation we're looking at, so that will be added to duties we're looking at in the partnership. We have some upgrades to the CCTV we're looking to do in Stone, but also we don't want to set the priorities so firmly that we can't be flexible to react to any changing priorities as they happen throughout the year. So I think that was quite a rushed overview of what we've been doing over the last year. There's quite a lot there. I just don't have any time for questions, or if you want to maybe come back to us afterwards.
No, I've just got to say a very big thank you to the pair of you, absolutely. You know, you've given a really comprehensive insight into what you're doing, so it's really good. And I've got to say to you, excuse me, thank you so much, the police, you know, for keeping us safe and that. And can you probably, I think the committee would agree, Pat Giles, our best wishes in his new post, you know, from the committee as well. So sorry to see him go, but it's nice to see you. It's nice to see a lady. Yeah, so thank you, and thank you so much, Anna. You know, you're doing a really good job, and it's quite interesting what you said about. I didn't hear anything said about farming communities, about the, have I missed something? You know, is there any, has that reduced, you know, the crime in farming?
No, it hasn't reduced, but we're still having issues with poaching. There's been a few incidents reported around the hunts, and the hounds have been coming out of control, and we're looking at potentially issuing some of them with CPNWs just to try and keep that in check. Shugborough have been having problems with badgers and people trying to be with the sets. I think across the force, it hasn't reduced, it's always going to be there. But
yeah.
I think the awareness has increased. Our ACC, Emily Clark, is really passionate about the rural communities, and she has brought this new team in to help support crime in the community. So, yeah, there's more support for rural areas. I didn't really talk about them, so I thought it was just the towns, but I think more than happy to come back and talk to you about.
Thank you. But I think we would, I think they would like to ask questions. I think it's, because I can throw it open to the committee. Is there anybody who wants to ask any questions? Yes, Colette?
Just a couple. These taxi marshals, are they volunteers or are they from the taxi operators themselves?
They're a company that we commission to carry out those duties, so they are paid.
Oh, nice. Okay,
not from the taxis themselves, they are an independent company.
Yeah. The local improvement objectives, working with females for alcohol and so on. Do you also work with Alcoholic Anonymous or groups like that? And perhaps refer people on to those?
Yeah, not in this specific project at the moment. I think we recognise there's a lot of resources out there for different types of issues. And so what we're trying to look at is filling a gap that we didn't think there was that resource there for. And it's that early intervention before we get people who are problematic drinkers. I think, you know, there is a lot of resource out there for those, but it's that first step as well, so that we hopefully will stop the pains.
And finally, do you think that the, obviously to the police, do you think that the reclassification of Monkey Dust, which is a big campaign at the moment, is going to improve things?
I don't honestly think the classification is going to make much difference. I think there's so many people that are addicted to it, it's trying to get them off. And I think they're mixing it with all sorts of unusual substances that's causing some real issues. But I think we've understood how dangerous it is as an organisation.
Yeah.
So there is a huge focus on trying to support those that are being in a vulnerable position, and then the cuckooed addresses where vulnerable people are being used, so that they can go and take it and deal with it.
One of the things was that by reclassifying it, that makes it a higher sentence.
Yeah.
It would put people on.
I don't think it will. A lot of the people that are dealing monkey dust are also dealing crack and heroin,
so they'll
get the higher sentences from that as well.
Yeah.
Most of the dealers that we've been arresting recently have got the three different books.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Yes, Anne.
You talked about the initiatives you were using with domestic violence and violence against women and girls. Has that had an impact? Have you seen a decrease in domestic violence yet?
There is definitely a reported decrease in repeat incidents, and we have asked for that some more information to talk to on that. We're seeing less high risk cases at the multi agency risk conference, which is, it's always very difficult, isn't it, with whether it's good or bad that you're having the reporting. But it's still very much at the top of everybody's agenda. There's a new board strategy came out before Christmas, and we're working closely with the police and the partners to make sure that everyone's fulfilling their duties.
I mean, how does it compare to other towns? Are we, you know, across the country, are we particularly high here, or is
no,
it
we sit around the national average.
There's a new operation which we're piloting this weekend, actually, off Vigilant. So there'll be officers out from the CID department within the police in plain clothes, almost spotting potential perpetrators of domestic violence. So they might see a couple having a very low level argument, but they're going to interject early, make sure that she's okay or he's okay, have that conversation, almost scare them off to stop that behaviour. Yeah, so we'll see if that has any.
Yes.
So it was a question about the local improvement initiatives. I thought that women who are using alcohol are often in a position where they're in a codependent relationship, and so it's a much wider issue than so they may live already with an alcohol abuser, and so I'm interested in this.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case, and it is about doing wider work with the family as well, and being able to get the support that is out there available. If they are, you know, going on to the course or doing some diversion activities, they will obviously be signposted as well to any alternative provision that could possibly help as well. But absolutely, you're right. It's not as straightforward as just a single person who have got isolated issues. It is obviously part of a much wider complex issue too, in so many cases.
I've got a few questions. I saw that there seems to be a poster or something that's going around the school children, school wars.
Yeah.
I wonder whether, I understand that there has been some problems with some of the children having weapons, if you like, on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether anybody else is aware of this. There's like a list of different schools versus other schools locally, and it's you get so many points if you see one of these kids in the street, so many points if you beat them up and video them, and just lots of horrible stuff. Do you know if this is starting to dissipate, or is it still something that
it's a national issue. It started on TikTok, social media, in London. The school, different rival schools challenging each other to fight, basically. And you're right, they get so many points for a traditional cuffy fist fight, up to higher points for stabbing somebody. So it is really horrendous how it's sold in the media. It's trickled through the West Midlands and landed in Stafford in particular, probably 2 weeks ago. So when I first heard about it, I hadn't seen that image that you're referring to, but the schools themselves referred it in to us to say, we've heard the kids talking about it, we're worried, what should we do? So I held a meeting with the main, I think it's King Eddie's, Stafford Manor, Blessedwood and Howard, and there was another one, it was Balfour. Yeah, they were the first kind of four that knew about it.
Yeah.
We just put a really simple plan in place. The teachers were sending out messaging to all parents to make them aware of it, feeding any intelligence or information if they knew if their children were getting involved. All schools were asked to put teachers on the gates at home time. I put my staff out on the gates at home time, and then we've increased the patrol strategy for the middle bit.
Yeah.
Because for me, Stafford Manor, we're never going to fight with King Eddie's at 3:15 because they both kick out at that time. So it was more likely to meet in the park at Rowley. So we focused some patrols there. That was 2 weeks ago. We've not had any issues. Then that poster came out, or that screenshot, and all the Stafford schools are mentioned in it.
Yeah.
So we've done the same. I think each school knows about it now.
And the Prue as well.
Yeah, and the Prue. But then we've had some input from a totally independent online expert, if you like, that monitors children and the trends that are going around, and they didn't seem particularly worried. It's like, it's another thing that the kids don't want the adults to understand, and it's very virtual in their space, and it's unlikely to actually get any traction here, but you can't
monitoring it every day in the knowledge room. We've had no incidents of children fighting from any schools. We've had no specific intelligence around any children in particular that are going to do anything to anyone else. We have tracked down the person that sent that viral. He's been spoken to, lovely lad from a lovely family who is not even at that school, is at JCB Academy. So it's just one of them that's seen it and shared it and thought, oh, well, look at this. Didn't even think about the consequences, didn't create it himself, but has just shared it on. So mum was completely apologetic. So that's good in some ways that it hasn't come from a staff and kid that's trying to, yeah.
So, I can't
promise that nothing's
going
to happen, but I think we're doing as much as we can to prevent it.
Yeah.
Thank you. The other thing I want to just mention is that I know that we've had issues with the groups of kids on bikes in the town centre. I understand that they've been hanging around the hospital. They've like been pushed out of the town, but they are hanging around.
Well, the main ones that we've targeted have either been given dispersals or they've been arrested for something, got bail conditions, so they can't come into town. And yeah, it does normally mean we push
them
somewhere. I didn't realise they'd run to the hospital.
That's what I was made aware of.
Are they causing the same issues as there?
Yeah,
I'll take that
back. You've got anything else, Marla?
The CCTV upgrades that you said has been done in Stone, but you also mentioned that there were pockets of areas in Stafford where they, you know, like Primark and all of that area. Are there any plans to do any CCTV monitoring around there? Because I know once they come out of that complex and they're trying to walk across the road or go elsewhere, there isn't the same kind of coverage, is there, from that point onwards?
The town is pretty well covered.
Victoria, you can come to the table, not sit the back.
It's Clark Street in particular that I'm thinking of, because the cars tend to park on the car park by Clark Street, and they tend to run across the road, jump in the cars on the car park. And
where the car park is, where it's sort of rough ground.
Yes.
We can see that.
Yeah.
That's where they were parking for quite a while.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that they come and use our CCTV is the only coverage that's there, but it doesn't cover the full area. And so I wondered whether there was additional CCTV. Obviously, please don't report that. that would be
in that area. We have audits carried out on the CCTV. We also ask crime prevention as well when they do. When they look at the town, we monitor. We can't cover absolutely every square inch, but all of the cameras are joined up around town.
Okay, well that's
certainly
good to hear.
A few years ago, we had some Safer Streets money and some Safety of Women at Night funding, and we used that to upgrade cameras and put additional cameras. And of course, there is some developments in the town and some changes, and CCTV is very much being considered.
Brilliant. That's really good. The only other thing I just wanted to mention is that I think you guys do a fantastic job when it comes to the domestic violence. I needed your help and I needed the council's help about 20 years ago, and was very well supported by both. My ex-husband went to prison for 12 years. So it just goes to show that these people that don't believe or don't think that going to the police is going to actually make a difference, it does.
Right, I'm going to close the question. Well, I'm just going to comment actually on a couple of things. All right, I'm really pleased that County Lines, you know, I mean, some people think it's a new thing. It's not. It's been in Stafford for 30 odd years to my knowledge. So, And it's a bit disappointing actually to see that the chair of the health from county is not here, because talking about falls and alcohol that you commented on, Anna, you know, this is something that we should be addressing, and this is something I will mention to the you know, the people at the county about that, because I think it's something that we should be looking into, especially falls and alcohol. Yeah, and can I just have a request that we have a copy of the slides, and I think everybody would like a copy so they could actually absorb them and look and see if there's anything else that we need to question or what have you in the future. Thank you very, very much. And Kelly, thank you so much for giving your important time up. And yeah, thank you for all you do. And don't forget to pass the best on to Giles. Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Right, we'll move on now to item.
Going back to five.
Yeah, to five, the. No, not five.
5B.
5B.
Task completion.
It's what, sorry? The, yeah, 5B. Yes. Right, over to you, really, Marnie. Have you got an update on the. On the
I've
food?
Got a minor update because I am
going
to hand over to the powers that be.
Thank you.
Positive. I think we've had positive meetings the whole way along. We agreed to make some minor changes to some of the write-up and the posters, which was done. Although there have been a number of questions that have been raised by the public, it would seem that on the whole, people seem quite positive about it. Kind of questions really that people are raising are the sort that you would expect, like who's paying for it, how much does it cost us, council tax, etc., etc. But a lot of these questions are actually, you know, you can find the answers to them if you are bothered to really look. But we've just thoroughly enjoyed the task and finish group, if that's something you can do. And I think that, you know, you guys have all been absolutely amazing and you've taken the set on board, and we've just been really happy with the way things have gone. Thank you. It's not been an easy ride for you at all. So thank you very much.
I think on behalf of the committee as well, Marnie, thank you to the task and finish group that actually did this, and thank you for the work that you did. So thank you. And I've got to say, talking about the food waste, I had one very excited 24-year-old with two young children, my granddaughter actually, ringing me up today. Nan, I've got my food waste bin. Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. And I've got this big roll of bags to be able to use and what have you. And I've started using it already. So excited to have... Oh, right, okay. So thank you. Yeah, so right, we'll move on to the...
The presentation.
I do apologise. I do. Getting all excited about food waste.
We'll make it a very good presentation for you, Jen. I'm sorry it's taken so long, but I
think it was good.
Craig sends his sincere apologies for being called away this evening on a family issue and he's had to deal with, so he's asked us to step in at the last minute. He's done an overview of where we are. I won't go through it all with you, but I'll just quickly just whip through the slides and we'll have a little bit of an update of where we currently are today. I'm glad to say that we are, touch wood, one of the few authorities regionally that's actually on target for it and getting there. Ourselves and also Canet Chase, so we're quite lucky. We've been extremely lucky throughout the process, I think, with regard to our procurement of our caddies, which we did across Staffordshire with the waste partners, and also our vehicles with both of our contractors, both here at the borough and also at Canet Chase. So our thanks go to Veolia and also for our contractors. And we did a similar presentation last night at the scrutiny committee at Canet. So I'll just whip through quickly. As you all know, we found out about this from government in October 2023. They said they wanted to introduce weekly food waste collections across the whole of the country. It was originally mooted as part of the Waste and Resources Strategy 2018, which came out in December 2018. And then that then rolled on with the consultation, etc. It came through as part of the simple recycling agenda that the government had promoted. But it's probably the biggest thing in the simple recycling was weekly food waste collections across England. Wales have already done it, and done it for a number of years, and again, as you recall, we've got one authority within Staffordshire that does it, which is Newcastle. So that's the introduction. This is our timeline. I won't go into a great amount of detail with it because you all know the timeline. Basically, we set up a task and finish group last February to look at the comms around it and in general what we were doing, how we were doing it, and why we were doing what we were looking to do. We procured the caddies jointly between us the county council, our partners, our waste disposal partners, procured the disposal points. We reached an agreement with Veolia around the food waste collection service and what it was going to look like, and the distribution of the caddies to residents, which this comes 2 years before the end of the Veolia contract. So the Veolia contract is due to end, or the first 10 years of it comes to an end in 2028. So we were introducing this right at the very end of the contract, and we had originally asked, Veolia did originally price us for that particular contract going back in a number of years ago when they gave them the work originally. So yeah, so we did that with them. Veolia secured the vehicles. There has been an issue nationally with vehicle procurement, because the vehicle manufacturers, basically there weren't enough of them to manufacture the number of vehicles required. So there's been a national issue with vehicle procurement. Again, very lucky across both authorities we secured our vehicles. Other councils haven't been quite as lucky. Other councils are having to wait till the summer or later in the year before they can start their food waste rollout because of the issues with vehicle procurement and also container procurement. We went early with our container procurement with our colleague across Staffordshire, and we managed to get a good procurement slots in, so that was all great news for us really. Veolia have completed their recruitment of the drivers and loaders, and we managed to get, luckily, quite a large storage facility opposite the Veolia plant on Beacon site. So it's a big old plant, big old facility, shall we say, that probably bigger than we need, but it was the only one we could get, and it was ideal because it was quite very local to Veolia. So we've had all those. They started coming in, was it before Christmas or after Christmas?
November
we took delivery of the food waste containers that you've seen, and also the caddies, and we've got the leaflets as well as the caddy liners as well coming. So they're all stored there. Veolia then started making up the packs for distribution, and I'm pleased to say that this week we've started distribution of them, and that will go on for 3 weeks, and then the service is due to start from the 13th of April with the food waste collection for residents. Lots of residents are positive about it. We've had a lot of feedback from residents in Wales and elsewhere that have done it, and they're quite positive about it. There are obviously the negative, why are you doing this, why can't you fix the potholes, all that sort of thing, you know. And however hard you try and tell people we don't do potholes, we still get the blame for potholes. I think when people get used to it, and I know there's the yuck factor, we've talked lots about the yuck factor, and that's one of the reasons we're doing the liners, but I think when people get used to it, if you try and take it off them in 12 or 18 months' time, they'd be very disappointed. I think it's something. The other thing is, as well, we stressed this point last night at Scrutiny at Canning, it's also about an education process for people. So when people see, because at the moment their food waste gets hidden. My wife doesn't think we generate food waste. I keep saying to her, we do. I'm telling you, we do. And when she sees, I think, the amount of food waste that she throws away on a weekly basis, hopefully that will reduce what we buy in and also make us think about that. And that's the whole point of this, and it's the thing around the cost of living crisis and things like that. It's not just about what the food waste generates, because it's within Staffordshire, all of our food, all of our residual waste at the moment goes for incineration, so it's all incinerated. We don't put it to landfill like other districts, other councils do, other authorities. But that still comes at the environmental cost, But when people see what it is, hopefully it will have a positive impact on them as well, So there is a lot of good behind it. I think that's the key message you want to get over to people. It is another change in the waste service, and people get fed up with changing the waste service. Another thing I always say to people is that waste will continue to change as technologies come in place, as we can recycle more. It will be the one sure thing in life other than birth and death, is that waste will change over the years, and it will continue to change. So the task and finish was set up, as I said, talking about comms generally, but we talked about a lot of wider things, and my thanks go out to Becky and to Craig and to colleagues that came from Newcastle, to Andrew Bird, who is an excellent advocate of the service. They've been doing it for well over 10 years now, and have talked to scrutiny about things, and also to members of cabinet as well. And again, we are where we are because of that and that process. So the outcomes, the communication, we agreed the wording, we looked at the channels that we're going to use, including social media and press, etc. We considered and agreed the food waste FAQs with yourselves, the provision of the equipment. I think the colours came into it at some stage, though we generally went for a Staffordshire wide colour, of a silver type colour, and that's across the Staffordshire, that pretty much most of Staffordshire. There's a couple that have gone a bit rogue, but you know what? That's life for you, that's local government. And then we are going to arrange an AD visit for you to go to the Biffa plant in Carrick, members that want to go and see, and it is really worth it.
Becky will tell you. Because you've been and visited.
I've been a few times. Becky, we went more recently, myself, Craig, Becky, and Steve Schofield from Carrick went along with other colleagues from other authorities just to talk about our contractors, the county contract with them, and to look at the plant. It's changed since the last time I went there. I probably haven't been there since prior to COVID. It's changed. Their business model's changed. They've moved away from supermarkets and going more into municipal waste because they think this is going to be cleaner type of waste for them. It's going to be less contamination, things like that. But we'll get that visit arranged for you in the next few months. You get your nose pegs ready because it smells. I'm used to the smell because I'm used to
it's not unpleasant,
yeah.
But it's unusual,
isn't it? Yeah. It's a sweet, unusual smell.
Yeah.
We used to, Canada used to do what they called in-vessel composting, which was very similar but just different. cook the waste for a long time because it got garden waste in there. So I was quite used to the smell, and you could always tell when it was our garden food waste week because you could smell it in the offices, and I was quite used to it. I think Becky was a bit of a shock for you, wasn't it, Becky?
Interesting.
Yeah. So get ready for that, but it is well worth seeing, and it's a fascinating. Well, if you like sad like us, you take photos of bins on your holiday. It's quite fascinating to look at. So that's it. There's your food waste caddies, beautiful as they are. That's it. That's what your residents get really excited about, and please try and promote it where we can. You know, it will have a positive impact. It will reduce our waste arisings. It will hopefully help people with the cost of living going forward. And it, you know, from our point of view, the whole point of it is to reduce the detrimental impact that what comes off food waste, if it does get landfilled or if it does have to get incinerated. If it goes to incineration, the gases that come off it are way more environmentally damaging than CO2 tends to be. You know, something like 28, Councillor Rose will probably correct me, 26, 28 times more damaging than CO2, the same methane is. So yes, that's what it's all about. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Jack. That's really, and thanks, Becky, and thank you.
Sorry,
for the work you do.
Sorry, there's vehicles as well. Sorry, Craig's got a... in the back there.
Oh, wow.
That's a typical vehicle. And then, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. It's very interesting. And thanks for the offer of the visit. I'm sure we can get that arranged, can't we, Jackie? Yeah. Right, has anybody got any questions they'd like to ask? Yes, Anne.
I just wondered when you'll know what the uptake is.
We will hope.
Yeah, it's going to start slowly, I suppose.
We're aiming for between 30 and 40%. 40% we think, well, 30% we're hoping for, but it'll take a while for people to get used to it. Lots of people saying, I'm not going to do it. And then hopefully they'll take it
up.
So yeah, we would have liked a little bit more national comms on it from, you know, from DEFRA or somebody, but they made the decision maybe not to. And yeah, we think Staffordshire-wide we've done some reasonable comms. We're going to keep pushing it, and we will carry on pushing it to try and to increase it, because last thing we want to do is be spending money on something that's not working. But we're hoping that eventually we'll get to around about 40% take-up, which is pretty standard across the board. And again, one of the things that does help, and I know we've had lots of debates around it, is the yuck factor and the liners. They do help. You know, we've got. we've got data from RAP and DEFRA that suggests that you know, if you're not putting the liners out there, you'll take up will be much lower.
Thank you. I think the thing I'm worried about is how many are going to go missing. the little bins, because somebody will find a use for them.
Well, lots of uses.
Brendan, do you want to come in?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I should know this, I guess, but physically, how big is the bin that you put outside as compared to your normal bin?
It's about that size.
It's
about
20
litres. Yeah, so the other one's 240
litres. Yeah. So it's a tiny comparison. It stands about that high. I've got one in the office. I can go and grab you in a minute if you want to see it again. But that high, and then you've got a little food waste kelly.
Oh, I've got a photograph of it on my phone. My granddaughter sent it to me. So excited. Yes, Philip.
Yeah, I don't know who did the press releases, but they were excellent. A lot of people had a lot of comments. There was a press release in the Sentinel, the Evening Sentinel, and the number of people that said it answered all their questions and so on about it. I don't know if it was you or Will or
me.
But it was excellent the way it was done.
That was Becky the comms team, Will. Will is brilliant, you know, Will's really good at things like that. So, yeah, that was, I can take absolutely no credit for that whatsoever. That was Becky and the comms team with Will and Craig.
We also have our web page as well.
Yes.
You know, you have your rate this page.
Yes.
It's just a star system, isn't it? And we've only had 3-star ratings for the page so far. We've had one, but that was because they objected to the service, not to the information on the web page.
Yeah.
But everyone else said that they were able to find all the information that they needed.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Jack.
No questions. I was just going to say thank you very much for all the work that's gone on with it. And I'm sure we've enjoyed our task and finish meetings leading up to this as well.
Thank you for everything that you've done.
I think we're all very pleased, actually, the way the Viola work. I think we don't get any complaints about their service at all. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I know we did write to them and thank them because they were, Sorry, Norman.
I think with some of the complaints about the bins, as soon as people actually receive them, they'll actually understand the size of the bins involved, because we have so many. How am I going to add another bin to my 3-wheelie bins that are there already? You can put it inside a wheelie bin, you'll never see it.
We had that conversation today, because as you say, most of the comments on Facebook is about where am I going to fit a new bin, and I think a lot of people think even they're getting a new wheelie bin.
Yeah.
They don't realise.
Well, we preempted that, you know, previously, and you know, just to reiterate again, you guys have just been fantastic throughout the whole process, and you were under so much pressure. But the timeline, the procurement, the whole process was not an easy one for you to go through, and it wasn't like you had government support through all of this. And the other thing I wanted to say, if you're not careful, you're going to end up with Bubble and Squeak every night telling your wife she's not going to use the food waste.
Right, okay. Any more questions? Everybody quite happy? Yes? Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Josh. Really good. Right, we'll move on now to item 7C.
7B.
Sorry?
Street scene update now. 7B, the street scene update.
7B, yeah, street scene update, yeah. Thank you, Lee. Thank you. Sorry you've had to wait, but you know.
Hi everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to present. I hope it won't take up too much of your time. So I'm here to talk to you about where we are as a street scene service at the moment. And much of that is linked to our shared services work at the moment. So just give you an idea of where we are in terms of managers and JOS. So JOS, of course, operations, and then we've got 3 service areas split between myself, the street scene manager, Tom, natural environment manager, and Craig, so the waste and commercial services manager. And I'm going to go into these into a bit more detail on the next slide, but this thing working. So you can see for me, so we're slightly different across Stafford and Canet. For Stafford, on the street scene side, we've got a lot of services grouped into one, so grounds maintenance, street cleansing, fly tipping, graffiti removal, all in one street scene service, whereas on the mechanic side it's split up a little bit. So we've got street cleansing, parks and play areas, grounds maintenance, capital works to play areas, and events in parks as well. I won't go into detail on Tom's and Craig's areas, but presume people will get the slides, Jackie, if that's okay, so you'll get that. Yeah, so you should see that, and of course we can take questions tonight as well. So, I thought we'd share some figures with you. So across both authorities, 2,341 public litter bins. So that's 1,659 for Stafford, 682 for Cannock. Fly tipping, I found quite interesting when I first came to the service, so it was 3 years ago-ish. I was really surprised at the fly tipping figures. So across both authorities, as you can see, 1,244. And that's split 762 for Stafford, 482 for Cannock. So you look at that, as I say, when I first came to streets, and I questioned colleagues, is that right? Because that's two a day, really. But yeah, sure enough, it is correct. And actually, just recently, colleagues across Staffordshire, the Waste Officers Group, done some work about what that looks like with our neighbouring authorities. And out of the nine, Stafford is actually seventh in terms of how many we get. So, comparatively speaking, not too bad. Cannock's eighth. So although at first sometimes that does hit you in the face a little bit, actually comparatively we're actually one of the lower ones in Staffordshire, which again did surprise me a little bit. I did think Stafford and Cannock would be higher. I guess there's a lot of factors come into that, but on that sort of headline, that's where we are as an authority. So that'll be a variety of different forms of waste, and where we can, we do enforce and prosecute if we can as well. So we're closely with our EH team and enforcement. If they can go out, if they can identify where the waste has come from, then we will try to enforce and prosecute if we can. And sometimes as well, that's hazardous waste, you know, so sometimes we get asbestos, other things as well, which we can't handle as a service, and we do have to get specialist contractors in sometimes. There was one recently, I forget exactly where it was, 25 bags of asbestos material just dumped in the lay-by. So, you know, that's reporting to Crime Stoppers, and again, EH, very helpful in trying to track that down. And, you know, this is the volume of waste we have to face sometimes. And again, just, you know, as Joss mentioned, we presented this as well last night at Cannock, and I talked about the fact there that Joss and I attended a conference recently where the Environment Agency presented, and they were saying waste crime for them is a real priority at the moment. There's a lot of organised criminals making money out of waste. So we're fortunate to the extent we're not getting the volume of incidents they talked about at the conference we went to, but unfortunately criminals are starting to see waste as a way to make money. And then parks and play areas, so this is your destination parks like Victoria Park, Westbridge Park, as well as your smaller play areas that we've got across the borough. So 76 for Stafford, 44 for Cannock. 120 in total. Stray dogs, so we work with an organisation called Noah's Ark at the minute, who collect our stray dogs. Officers used to do that. It's one of the changes I made when I came to post, working with Joss and other colleagues. We weren't that comfortable with officers collecting stray dogs. So an organisation called Noah's Ark collect those for us now. We've just closed the tender opportunity for organisations to bid. So yeah, that's a formal contract. So we will continue to offer a stray dog service as a council, but that will be formally outsourced from May this year. And your numbers are there, 108 across both authorities, very similar numbers. Mm-hmm. So 50,000 flowers, so a bit of a task coming up, potentially, you know, next few months. So that's everything, hanging baskets, cauldrons, tiered planters, flowers in the parks, and again, very even split across Stafford and Cannock, slightly more for Stafford. Financial investment into our parks as well, so, you know, did that over the last couple of years, so the big sum there for Stafford is the Westbridge Park investment, which you'll be familiar with, so about 1.4-ish going into there. So on the Stafford side, we've historically relied on Section 106 money for that, which does strict where we can spend sometimes, but we have been able to secure a bit more budget going into next financial year to do some of our play areas that have ranked us in need of investment as well. And then your outdoor spaces, so as well as that, we've got our sort of informal outdoor spaces, Grass Burgess, so on behalf of county, they pay us a fee, and we maintain and cut Grass Burgess where we can. Football pitches, bowling greens, tennis courts as well, so it all comes in the street scene as well, so that's the management and maintenance of those as well. And what I should have done, Joss, we should have thought this, we've just bought a, you might not get excited about this, but I do, a robot automatic line marker, so if you put on pitches, we always have staff go out and mark these lines.
Sorry,
and I've got a robot marker. So now you just set that off, so it saves staff time, staff can go off and litter pick and do whatever else they need to do. And this robot line marker goes out and marks out pitches. So we'll get a press release done for that. If you really want to, you can see more information about our robot line marker. So what does that look like in terms of staff? So for street scene, we've got, so we'll talk about the ground staff here, so 47 operatives, 36 vehicles, 9 park staff, 2 seasonal staff we're just about to interview for tomorrow actually, employ, admin, management support, you know, so it's a big task, but I'm really lucky, got a really good team around me, a lot of support. Many of you, I'm sure, will know Tony Dale, Ian Johnson, you know, got great support out there, as well as all the admin and all the operatives that do the work for us. And the scale of what we do with those vehicles, that doesn't even include our ride on mowers or other things like that as well, so quite an operation, but that's what I really enjoy about the world. It's so varied, so many different challenges that we face every day. And what I'm quite proud of what we've done as well over the last few years that's been in post is working more on our community engagement, biodiversity, climate change. Not there yet, you know, we don't profess to be, but we have done quite a lot of work on this. So, for example, volunteer litter picking groups, we try to help where we can. That could be as simple as just giving out bin bags, which we'll collect once before as well, litter pickers. Biodiversity projects as well, so I've got a thought with me tonight, big printout, which we've kind of been making notes against of our biodiversity strategy now, which we have in the council, which Bill Waller has worked on and led on. So Bill actually sits in Tom's team, the National Environment team, but over the years we were really close with Bill, so if you haven't had a look at the biodiversity strategy yet, and certainly suggest you do. It's on our website now, it's live on our website. On page 33 of that strategy, there's a number of examples of groups that we've, or areas where we've developed biodiversity, but most of that is working with community groups. So for example, Risingbrook Library Fields, Wildflowers on Castle Acre, Westway, Dawlish Avenue, you know, lots of different areas where we have worked quite closely with Bill to try and increase our biodiversity, wildflower, no-mo areas, those sort of things as well. And fleet, so we're just coming to the end of an investment programme in our fleet at Street Scenes, so that's about £1 million investment we're just coming to the end of, which we've implemented over the last year or so. So that's given us a number of new vehicles, including our first electric vehicles, which we're just about to purchase, 2 small vans, and that's meant some infrastructure into place at the Midway Depot as well for that. I'll show you a picture of that in a minute. But what we've also done is some anti-idling campaigns as well with the team, where we've noticed, you know, perhaps engines were running a little bit longer than they needed to. So we started to monitor that a little bit closely, educate the workforce on the benefits of not leaving vehicles idling. And over the last 2 years, it's been about 600 hours each year that we've reduced the vehicle idling. So obviously financial benefit to that, there's an operational benefit, and there's an environmental benefit as well. And we've also looked at optimising some of our routes as well. So as well as the vehicle idling, as well as optimising some of our routes, we're saving about 5,000 litres of fuel a year as well. So for us, that's quite big. I know in the grand scheme of things, climate change is a bummer as a county, you know, that might not change everything overnight, but these are the steps we're trying to take as a service to address these issues as well. Sorry, what I should have said as well regarding the community engagement, I just wanted to mention the fact that we're just about to have, well, just about to in June, we're going to have work experience from Walton Hall Special School as well, down at Victoria Park, which we had last June as well, which the school came to us, you know, they were struggling to find placements for the children to go and do some work experience. And we've had mixed experience with work experience in the past, you know, sometimes they just turn up and not really interested, sometimes they're fantastic. We sort of made a decision, well, you know, let's not let past experience put us off. And they were fantastic, they were brilliant. We worked in the park for a week, got on great with the staff. So we're doing that again this June as well. So I know at least three of you in this room have been down to our depot. You're more than welcome to come for a visit if you ever want to, but it does look slightly different now. So this is what our electric parking bays look like now. So the charging station is due in next week. That's what the groundwork looks like now. So we're future proofing for future EV charging points going as well. So that's some proof that I'm not just telling you doing it. You can actually see me doing it. And just the example again of some of those biodiversity projects. That's Exhall Rose. If any of you ever visit Exhall Rose Cemetery, you might have noticed a strip that went in. Time flies, doesn't it? It wasn't last year, the year before, from memory now. So a wildflower area in there. It's just an example. And again, there's just loads of examples of biodiversity strategy. I can't take credit for all of these, but some of these we have worked with Bill on as well. So that's where we pretty much are now. So what are we doing next? So with us, with Stafford and Cannock, with Street Scene, we've had a really positive experience of working together. We want to continue that. So we're learning from each other, we're learning best practice, we are doing things like running training courses together, whereas in the past we might have done those separate. The fleet investment which has gone through on Stafford side, we've been able to share with Cannock on what's worked, so we're buying the same sweepers for Stafford and Cannock, for example, things like that. We really found a benefit of shared services between Stafford and Cannock. That fleet investment will continue. As I said, we are coming to the end of that, but there's a little bit more to do. So we've still got a big sweeper, a channel sweeper to buy as well. That's your big sweeper. As well as one or two other vehicles, including, like I say, electric vans, which will come on board any time soon. Parts capital investment programme is our, you know, another big priority for us. So we are currently working around the park. So we've done some prep work there with the entrance roadway and the gates. That is all preparing us for a new play area that will go in. So the tender for that is just closed. We're evaluating that at the moment. So new play area going to Bradley Park as well as part of the phase one investment. And then phase two, if and when we get more investment available, we'll look at wider improvements to the park as well. But also in that will be the four play areas I mentioned earlier, we've secured some investment for as well, which Sally McDonald, some of you will know, started to talk to board members now about what that investment should look like for the parks that we have that funding for. And continuing the community projects, as I said, you know, I mentioned that a couple of times, they'd like to strengthen that and continue to grow that area for us as well. That sometimes you know, can feel like it's not our core work, but what I always say is that actually helps us in the long run. So if we do get people out there litter picking, if we do get people understanding the service and what we offer, it makes our life, you know, a little bit easier as time goes on. Finally, just to say thank you to those of you who do bring things to our attention. We can't see everything all the time, so if there are issues, roads that need sweeping, graffiti, which we can't help it, but we do have to get community safety or enforcement involved, depending on the nature of it. But yeah, thank you for raising things so we can try and deal with those. But finally, happy to take any questions. Chair,
thank you very much, Liam. Thank you for your presentation. It was really interesting in that, you know, I mean, I've got, what do you do about supermarket trolleys that's lying around and causing problems? Is it our problem or is it, what do we do?
Yeah, we do collect them. So wherever we can, we'll return them to the supermarket, depending where they are. So if it's an area that we're responsible for collecting waste from, then yeah, we will collect
I'll send you an email.
Supermarkets like it, the back is quite expensive as far as I understand, these trolley cars, so to return them would be quite appreciated.
It's good to see you, you know, working with the community as well, yeah, it's brilliant, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
First of all, can I say a massive thank you to you because we've had an absolute mountain of bills to climb and you've just been absolutely brutal and helping. I feel like I'm tearing my hair out, so goodness knows how you feel. Is there anything else we can do to help stop this problem? Because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
The volume of stuff that we're getting is just unbelievable.
Talking to each other, understanding what those issues are and trying to address those.
There's a mountain of problems.
Yeah. I think it's probably something we need to discuss across a number of service areas, across the council would suggest. It's probably something we need to.
How would we go about doing
that,
please?
I would suggest we perhaps set a separate meeting, you know, we could have a chat in the relevant service areas.
Contact lead by email, Louise. Contact lead by email. Let them know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
If we know what the issues are, we can know who to invite.
Philip, you want?
Yeah, it's not actually a question. It's just I'm sure that we're all pleased that one of your team has been picked to go to the Royal Garden Party. Is he a street cleaner?
Yeah. So we've got to check two.
And you know, it's a great honour for them, and I'm sure as a committee we wish them hope they have a very enjoyable and memorable visit to the palace when they go.
Yeah,
I think it's brilliant that, you know, somebody like, you know, to be degrading or anything like that, but somebody that does an absolutely fantastic job has been picked to go to the palace.
I agree with you there, Philip, because there's somebody from Highways actually from County going as well. So, you know, I was
We've had Tony Dale recently went to St James's Palace.
Yeah.
So he was over the moon about that. And I started to talk about just one or two photos to put to this. He didn't send me the one where he met the Queen. So he got a picture of a car park instead. Yeah. He was absolutely over the moon, and I'm sure those of you who doubt Tony and Green, you know, the years of service he's put in, the way he responds to people, he's fully deserved that. And then, yeah, we've got an operative going in the summer, actually, to the palace and to the gardens, which, again, is a fantastic officer, who's fully deserved to go. And again, he was over the moon when he told me to go.
Would be interesting, actually, is to have a copy of the list of all the people and that, who'd be responsible for what. I noticed that you've shown up, that would be good. Can you arrange that, Jackie, so the committee can have that? It's where all the names and everything of what they're responsible for that's on the presentation.
I'll circulate the slides.
Okay, fine, yeah.
Couple of questions. Victoria Park play area. Now, I understand that there's supposed to be some fencing put up. I believe there is some fencing up currently around the play area, but the feedback I've had is it's not secure. The question that was asked was this temporary, or is this the fencing, because it's still not going to stop a child from falling into a canal or getting under the fence if they wanted to. I haven't seen it myself, but that's what I was asked.
Yeah. My understanding, councillor, I'll look into that. My understanding is temporary, and it's for some work that we're doing there around the play area. I will check that though. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is that it's temporary. It's for some work that we are doing.
It is
just
awful. It is just waiting for that.
Jack, you want to come?
That's good.
Did you finish? Mark? Have you finished?
No,
that's
just
my
question. I wanted to ask about the climate change. So obviously we'd said that we were going to, or it was decided, the council decided that we were going to be carbon neutral by 2030. The date was changed. Now I know that there are going to be huge changes as far as authorities go. But I'm assuming that we're still working towards that aim. And if that is the case, how close are we to
to that at the moment. I know we're making changes to vehicles, etc. I wondered how much further we had to go to become a carbon neutral authority.
Through you, Chair, I can take that question back. It's not my service here, it's not my responsible board. We need to go back to Martin Manning now, who leads on climate change.
And just 4 years is not very long, is it, to be carbon neutral in when we're at the point that we're at, so.
Yeah, we still do work on that agenda, so there's a couple of working groups set up that work on that agenda, so there's a working group that I attend, there's a working group head of service as well, so right up to the senior level as well. My understanding is, I'm looking to check, like I said, that date hasn't changed, well, I might be completely wrong, I don't know if you know any jobs, but my understanding is that hasn't changed.
Through you, Chair. The main issue we have is around, it's the same everywhere really, it's around your heating and your fuel, your vehicle fuels, etc. So again, I'm not quite sure where we are currently, because that responsibility lies elsewhere, so it's under Gabrielle, Whitehouse, Heather Riggs and Martin, but we will come back to you on our
second.
It's also covered, I think, ironically, by a different scrutiny. We'll find it.
Yes.
Is that it? Have you finished?
I think I've finished.
Okay. Right,
Jack. I support Marnie's comments as well on that. It would be interesting to know if you could get the information from whoever has the information. It'd be good to know that. And apart from that, I was just going to say a massive thank you, because every time I speak to anyone from the team, it's always very quick responses and action's always very quickly done. Fly tipping, especially anytime I make a report, residents make a report, it's done within 48 hours at the slow end of things. Normally it's gone within 12 hours of a report. So, massive thank you to the team again on that one.
Thank you. Dee, did you want to?
Yeah, it was just about Riley Park, really, because I had a number of residents asking when they could get access to it again. Is the whole park going to be closed off forever? They feel like it's been closed off forever already because they use it as a cut through a lot of people. You're doing the entrance, aren't you? And then is the whole park going to be like that for ages? Or will they get access, particularly there's a sort of rough ground that they use for the dogs a lot because they don't go on the big bit?
Yes, so it's a couple of parts of that. So the roadway pathway in that we're working on now, that will be done by the end of the month. So that will be good. So we've got the temporary roadway and footpath at the moment, so there is still a route in.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it's not perfect. The alternatives.
A lot of people thought it was closed, so did I. I must admit, I didn't go down and look.
There are signs, you know, it does say temporary footway, but sometimes people don't see that. So, but that should be done by the end of the month. And then it'll go quiet for a while, because we've got to evaluate now the tenders for the play area, then you have to award, and it depends when that will happen. Hoping that work will start by the end of the year. So there may be some disruption again, but these things can't avoid improving our parks and players. But no, certainly that way it looks like it's closed at the minute.
Yeah, lots of people have said that. I must admit, I was meant to go down and have a look.
I could understand why right next to the where the gates used to be. Right next to that is a temporary roadway going in.
We say we haven't even noticed that we're going to be shut, but
Can I just say a very big thank you as well for the work experience you're giving for Walton Hall. I think it's, you know, sitting on the county and children in care and children with special educational needs and that, I think that is absolutely, so well done for that, you know, because it is difficult for these children. So really pleased that the borough's taking it on board. Thank you. Any more? Any queries? Any more? Any? Okay. Right, we'll move on. Thank you very much, Lee, for your presentation, and thank you. You know, so right, we're on to the item 7C. I had a conversation with Chris Butcher the other day, actually, and I did ask him to probably tell the committee and everything that he told me, but I think it's a bit late in the day, so we'll leave it till next time if that's all right with you, Chris, because I thought it was very interesting. I thought the committee ought to know the information, so we'll leave that in abeyance until next. Okay.
Excuse me, my chair. I need to go.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You got that fed up?
No. My phone's been rattling away.
Oh, right, okay.
For the last hour and a half.
Thank you very much, Brendan. Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to the performance report. That includes you all, doesn't it, I think? Okay. So we're on page 4 of the agenda. Anybody got any queries on that? No? I think it's a question really I asked Anne about the staffing problems, you know, that we're having. You know, I think there's... Do you want... Yeah. I think you're doing all you can, but the situation we're in, I know it's not easy.
No, we do have a number of vacancies. The one that is referred to here is around housing strategy, which has seen the delay of the production of the housing strategy. In a way that it could be quite a positive, the government have just announced that we now need to do a supported housing strategy as a new duty for local authorities. So what we're looking at the moment is whether, as an option, whether to combine a housing strategy, which has been delayed, with that supported housing strategy as well. So we're currently reviewing that. We have to have the supported housing strategy completed by the 31st of March next year. So both of those will be taken forward. Whether there's one strategy or two, we're not sure, but we do need to start working on that very soon.
Thank you very much, Anna. Right, page 5. Anybody got any queries on page 5? Any questions? No. I think it's something, again, I mentioned to Anne about our younger people and, you know, not being able to find anywhere to, you know, I just wonder what we're doing about the younger generation and they're still living on with the parents and they're wanting to move out and really, where do we go and what do we do and is there anything that we can do as a council to help these people move forward?
Okay, so I think the important thing is having good data about actually what the extent of this issue is. And I know Forward Planning have recently commissioned completing an economic development and housing needs assessment, which sets out very clearly what those housing needs are going forwards to inform the local plan. That will pick up household formation and how many houses we need going forwards as well. I think for those, because our service sees the housing homelessness side of things, it is about the delivery of affordable housing, and I think we've been really strong at delivering that over the last few years. Going forwards, we have got another pipeline of affordable housing. Obviously, when the new local plan comes in, there will be new sites allocated as well. But it is something that we're really aware of. Obviously, it depends on the rental sector and houses and occupation. So I think we look at all those different options. But the work that we're doing with people at the moment will really set out what that need is going forwards and then how we can meet that need.
Thank you, Anna. Yeah, and that's probably a question for Chris, actually. How many properties have we got that's unoccupied, or what, you know, what's the situation?
Unoccupied.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you with the data on that. I mean,
yeah.
It stayed roughly the same, waxes and wanes a little.
You come to the table.
But I'll come back to you with the information.
Okay. Anybody else got any queries?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
Could I ask, moving forwards, what can we do about people who are persistently breaking the law? People who get put in prison and then get put straight back into the houses again because the prison sentences haven't been very long. People involved in antisocial behaviour. I know there's housing policies that if somebody just persistently doesn't conform in that, there are people who are breaking the law. What are we going to do with this moving forward? Because it is a safeguarding issue, quite a massive one.
Through your chair, I think there are a lot of issues you're raising there. As a local authority, you've obviously heard already about the community safety duties we have earlier, you know, we've talked about earlier this evening. We also have a statutory duty to prevent and to reduce homelessness. So it is about balancing all those different issues. I think what we're really clear about is that persons, when a person is released from prison, the most important thing for them is to have settled accommodation and also to try and get into employment, education or training or something to keep them occupied. I actually accept short prison sentences can be quite challenging. I think what we really need to do is ensure that accommodation can be sustained. It's obviously, you know, part of that homelessness duty too.
And how do we protect the other residents while we're going through that process?
I think what we're looking at really clearly is wider work with communities around our social behaviour and things like that as well. I think there's a lot of different issues they're raising there that, you know, possibly can't be addressed in a generic response to the community.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Right. Anybody else got any questions? No? Okay. So we move on to page. Am I on page six? Yeah. Sorry, I've got my glasses. Thank you for the listing on there about the small grants, Anna. That was really interesting. Is there anybody that's been refused and for what reason?
Okay, so we ran a round for small grants. The bids that came in were way in excess of the funding we had available. So what we've tried to do is make sure that people who have applied have got allocations, maybe not the full amount they've wanted, but we've had to, you know, make some very difficult decisions, but we've tried to make sure everybody gets at least some of what they've asked for as well.
Yeah.
Some have got all of the amount, others have got a percentage of what they've asked for.
Thank you. Anybody else? So we'll move on to page 7. No queries, no questions? Everybody happy? Page 8. Trees. What are we doing? Josh, please, tree situation. I mean, I think everybody's got problems with trees and what have you. And the problem I have is knowing who belongs to what when there's on a piece of ground, you know, that's not anybody's garden or anything. You don't know what it's county, borough, and it's a right job trying to find out who's responsible for it.
Yeah, that's our problem as well. We have the same issues. If we're not aware of whose land it is, we have to go to the land registry quite often to find out. As it stands, we've still got 4 consultant tree officers across both authorities. We are going out to recruitment within the next couple of months for 5 posts. We're having a principal tree officer, 2 senior tree officers, and then 2 tree officers. So the principles will be shared between both authorities, and each authority will then have a senior tree officer and a tree officer. And unfortunately, the tree officers at the moment are going where the market's taking them, so where they can make the money. The last 2 that we lost from Calic Chase went and set themselves up their own business because they felt they could make a little bit more money with less hassle in the private sector, and that was, that's the story that a lot, to be honest with you. But we are going out for recruitment. We're hoping to get a good response, all being well.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah. Right, page 9. Any queries? Anybody want to ask a question? No? Everybody happy? I just worry about our small pay parks that we've got. You know, I know what's happening now is absolutely brilliant and that, but I just worry about the small pay parks that we've got, you know. And I mean, I've got an area where the people have said we'll paint it ourselves, some of the children's equipment, because it's in such dire straits. Yeah, okay. Just wanted to comment on that. Yes, Anne?
I just wondered where we were with respect to the tree management system. Is that the data system that you were...
Yes, so that is it's being procured, and they're working on implementation with the company at the moment. So the tree officer that left us previously, Gareth Hare, was working on it across the authorities. Tom
Walks is now working on that with Pete Scholes, who is a Climate Change officer, and our principal countryside officer is working on it for about a at the moment. When we get the new principal, I'll be working on the system as well, but we're cleansing all the data at the moment and trying to get all the TPO information up to date to do that online. We've also got a fixed-term consultant in at the moment doing some work on the TPO workforce for the borough. So we're actually looking at the TPO work there as well. So yeah, they're all trying to think into the best they can while trying to trying to recruit new tree officers as well at the same time. And deal with the trees.
So will that resolve the issues of finding out who owns what tree?
No. That will purely be around the actual whether there's a TPO on it or not. So people, developers and residents will be able to go on, look at a tree and then find the TPO for the TPO on there, and then go to a form that they can put on if they want to do any work on that particular tree. The issue with land ownership is a huge issue nationally, because there are an awful lot of unregistered pieces of land. Everybody, like the potholes, everybody comes to us and says, first of all, you know, there's a tree on this piece of land, it's got to be ours because we're the local authority. So we get the land for it, and then we have to find out. If we don't know historically whose piece of land it's good, we have to go and find out. We have to get our legal to send off the land registry, put a package together and say, well, who's in the land.
Yes, Lorna.
It was my understanding a few years ago after that horrendous incident where that gentleman tragically lost his life on the official road, that the county did an asset count of the trees and where they were in their area. Did that?
Their trees?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a difference between
their
trees.
Did they not share that information?
Well, it the simple word is no.
Okay. I didn't know whether perhaps it had ground to a halt.
I don't know. I don't know what happened with that. But the county've got a lot of trees. Obviously, we've got 78,000 trees between both authorities.
Wow.
And then there are a lot of private trees on there, or unregistered trees, or trees that are just self-set and things like that. So, but we are concerned with our trees on our land primarily.
It's quite interesting that, you know, because we've got some trees planted on Yelverton Park. And they've done a really good job, but nobody knows who's planted them. We've asked everybody, nobody will admit to it. So with Ian and Tony having a look at them, he says, we'll leave it for a year and see how they come out and see what happens. But somebody's taking it in their own hands. And yeah. Right, okay, so we move on to page 10. Anybody got any queries on that? No? Can't really comprehend turning these pages up the way they are. Page 11. Any queries? Everybody happy?
Yeah.
Okay. Page 12. Everybody happy? Any queries? Page 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just on the basis of the question that I asked previously. How are these performances then being what are we going against to get these performance targets and rate them? Is it down to where we are on our strategy, climate change strategy, or what? Because it's talking about targets.
Which particular targets are you talking
about? Any of them. On page 13, extract, climate change, nature recovery, and the environment, performance below target, above target, exceeds target, on target. I just wondered what the targets.
Yeah, well, if you can go to page 14, which shows, for example, the waste and recycling model, we have a year end from the previous year. We have a lot of the targets for us are actually set in our contracts, so in our waste contract with Veolia.
Right.
We will set targets in there for what we want to achieve, or we will do, for example, the household waste recycling. That target there is above the national average. The national average at the moment is around about 44%, 43%.
So on the page prior prior to that then, the climate change,
yes,
and nature recovery,
yep,
you're going against natural national targets.
So what that's telling you there is out of the following pages,
right,
how many have exceeded the expected target within that quarter.
Right, okay.
And then how many are on target, how many below. So you've got one that's 5% below, none that are less than 5% below, and you've got one that's on target and three that have exceeded the target,
yeah,
the last quarter.
I get it, Josh. Sorry, I had a bit of a brain fade
right
then.
Right. We do all the time. And especially with the...
I embarrass myself.
No, you do. Especially with the symbols as well. Because you is constantly telling
thank
the
you.
Symbols.
Page 14. Everybody happy?
Yeah? Can I just ask about amount of household residual waste collected?
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of the marked reduction?
Well, the less we do, the better.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we're aiming to do, we focus so many years on recycling, and actually recycling isn't the important thing. Lots of waste professionals, myself included, have said over the years actually, we're chasing the wrong goal. So the hierarchy is reduce, reuse, recycle, recover. So the first thing you should be doing is reducing your waste. Yeah, then you reuse it if there is waste. So you give it away, donate it, toy yourself there.
Yeah.
Then you recycle, then you recover. So you know, so the thing we should be aiming at is that reduction, waste reduction. So the lower we can get that down per household, the better. So that the lower that figure gets, the better.
So that's really significant.
Yeah, it's reasonable, to be honest with you. You know, it's where we'd like to be. I'd like it to be even lower. You know, so we're reducing the waste. And again, I think you'll find with simple recycling, the county and other districts and boroughs will be focusing much more going forward on waste reduction, rather than you recycling or you. And things like that, and reuse, because that's more important to us.
Yes, Julie.
Just to ask, you know those flights have been instances.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a quantity that's attached to those instances?
There is. There's a tonnage. There's a tonnage metric. We don't report it because it's not something we've got it behind the scenes. Ours aren't huge, but as Lee was saying earlier, you know, it looks high, but the tonnies aren't huge. You have the occasional illicit fly tip, which is a large scale industrial fly tip that you'll find, but again, touch wood, we're quite lucky within the district, within the borough and the district, that we don't have a lot of that. We have had a few in the past, certainly in Canuck, over the years, but nothing too major.
Yeah. Page 15. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. I think if the officers want to leave, I think, because we're on to the work programme now, that you're quite happy to stay if you'd like to. Yeah? So, right, items 7D, the work programme. Is there anything that you want to add or take away or from the committee? Is there anything that you were concerned about?
I wondered whether we could have an update on the climate change strategy and where we are with it as part of the biodiversity and air quality. I didn't realise that it formed part of a different scrutiny committee. And as it affects the community well-being, it would be nice to have an idea of what's happening.
Through you,
Josh, do you want to come in, Josh?
Yeah, through you, Chair. We can arrange that. We can probably ask Gabrielle to pop along or Martine and do a presentation to where we are with that.
Thank you. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact,
thank you.
That
meeting,
that's
Chris is nodding at the back as well. Thank you. So you can arrange that for us. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yes, John.
Yeah, I was just going to ask on the obesity and diabetes, how would it actually look in terms of what it would look like for this committee with obviously working with the county council?
I don't know. That's a question we'll have to ask
yeah,
the
that's what I was just
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've put across the side of that, thinking it's high on the agenda at county. I do know that.
Yep.
And so it's something that we, you know, we'll take on board, and I'll raise it with the powers that be, shall we say, at the county.
Sorry,
yeah. And it's like the other one is children in care and housing, but we've had a discussion about this, haven't we, Anna? And, you know, we're doing all we can at the borough regarding that. Is there anything else that anybody wants to think we should be looking at? There's quite a few lists there. Got quite a few on the list. Yes, Louise.
I think, sorry, I can't see you. I hope you can hear my voice.
Yeah, I can hear your voice.
I think in terms of obesity and diabetes, when you look at the sustainability of the food banks at the moment, that might be an indication of, well, it's high sugar, high fat.
Yeah.
And sustainability.
Yeah.
And how things are preserved and fresh produce and how they're preserved.
I do sit on the health at county, and I mean, I do know that obesity is high on the agenda, so, you know, we'll, yeah. I mean, I've got one, I don't know whether I asked you this before, actually, about the firefighters. I mean, Julie, remember we went to that meeting at the fire station a few months back, and there was only three of us turned up, I think. And I think the reason being, because it was in the middle of the day, people got other things to do and what have you. So I suggested to them about coming to one of our meetings, coming early, say at 6 o'clock, starting the meeting at 6 o'clock, and getting some of them to come and, you know, and give us a talk on what they do, because they're really part of our. I mean, like we've had the police.
Yeah, we went to one 12 months before, didn't we? And it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're preparing for climate change as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we can move that forward if everybody's in agreement with that, to do that and start the meeting at 6 o'clock. Probably when's the next meeting, Jackie, is it? It'll
be the end of June, July time.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have a look at that, so we'll have a talk about that, yeah. Anybody, anything else on the work programme? No? Everybody's quite happy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I think we've had a very long meeting, and I'm really surprised that we finished taking us 2 hours. But we've had a lot to discuss and a lot to talk about. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. And have a safe journey home. And thank you. And thank you to all the officers and that for what you do for us. Thank you.